Welcome to the Million Dollar Multi-Op Podcast. Here, you're going to find education, entertainment, and a little inspiration on how to get to the next level. Are you a DJ company owner that's looking for the secret sauce? Congrats, you found it.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Million Dollar Multi-Op Podcast. I'm your host, David Osborne with BlueprintLearn.com. Today on the podcast, we've got an awesome guest. We've got Chad Brown from right here in Athens, Georgia, and I'm going to read a few things, and then we're going to bring Chad in. He is the creator of the Stronger Business Podcast, the co-owner of Brown & McCook, which is a tax firm for business owners, a serial entrepreneur. This man's got lots of businesses, and all of them are fantastic, and the developer of a boutique hotel here in Athens called the Athenian, which I plan on staying in the next 12 months. Welcome, Chad Brown.
What is up, man? I'm excited to be here. Look at that. I like the applause. This is the first podcast I've ever gotten applause for coming on, so I'm impressed already. This is going to be fun.
We're the only podcast that truly values you for what you're worth, Chad.
Right, man, so. I'm sold. You count me in anytime you want me.
I was joking before we went live. This is going to be part one of six or one of 10 or something, because there's Chad is full of great content. Now, this is a podcast, as you know, if you're a regular listener, for multi-op DJ company owners. So it's pretty niche. And we focus a lot on business. We focus a lot on improving your business and the pursuit of creating a business that's healthy enough to hit a million or beyond. And I think this is like we are in tax season. We're T-minus less than a month till tax day when we're recording this. And this is going to drop before April 15th. So I think finances are on everyone's mind. And I want to get things kicked off with, Chad, you work with a lot of business owners. What are three of the most common financial mistakes you see business owners making?
All right. I love this because I love planning for like fun stuff and how to make more money and how to save more taxes and keep more money in your pocket. But also a huge part of that is avoiding mistakes. It only takes a couple mistakes. You can go the other direction. So kicking this thing off with what are three like financial mistakes, or what do I see the most common mistakes business owners make from a financial standpoint is huge. And so let's dive in. Let's talk about a few of these. So interestingly enough, you know, most of your listeners and audience already nailed this one, but I want to talk about it because this is probably the most common and the biggest thing that I experienced as a business owner. Once I started gaining success and my businesses started growing, let's say that probably 10-year mark and after, the number one thing I see most often is trying to serve everybody and everything and then continuing to add multiple revenue streams to that inside of serving everybody and everything. You build a monster that really starts to control you instead of you controlling it. I know for most of us, we became business owners and entrepreneurs because we wanted a certain life that we wanted our business to serve us for. And I think if you're not careful, once you start gaining momentum and success, you can really screw that up and your business can be something that's so demanding, you're just serving it. And it starts to become a financial mess when you start trying to serve everybody and everything. And you start trying to also inside of that add ultimate other types of income and other revenue streams. It becomes this huge mess that's full of expenses and full of different directions of you're trying to go, you're hiring people, you're firing people. People won't last because it's too hard to train to do everything for everybody. You end up with a lot of turnover and you start to spend money because it's killing you and you're trying to throw money at it to figure it out. And it just becomes this snowball of this financial and this kind of lifestyle business mess. And that at the end of the day, it results in burnout. It results in financial stress. It results in spending money too fast in places that aren't fundamentally sound. And so one of the biggest things I recommend for business owners and entrepreneurs, as you're starting to grow, as you're starting to really build a reputation is continue to just harness who you are and the niche customer you serve and knowing that ideal customer and serve them. It's okay to add layers to it or add other avenues of lifetime value per customer, but just don't go off in left field adding things outside of your scope or the knowledge you already have. And I think if you'll do that, it financially just makes you a heck of a lot more profitable. You become the best at what you do pretty quick in that niche space. And so you're able to charge a heck of a lot more, which equals a lot more profit because you're not having those extra expenses. You're not having all those challenges of kind of controlling this monster and keeping the wheels on. And it just, that one little change or that one little thing to stay away from can be the difference in having a huge business that's killing you and not making any money to having an awesome business that you can work in 2 or 3 days a week or even less and make a pile of money. And so from a financial standpoint, that's one of the most fundamental things I experienced. I screwed it up and numbers and finances and business growth is what I do. And so it's so easy to get down that road and all of a sudden you're in a place that's just headed for disaster and it's all you can do to keep the wheels on it. That's the first one, David.
Podcast is over. That was already like that was. Hey, there we go. That's killer advice, and I think we should dive in a little deeper because let's talk about a multi-op DJ company is a lot of different DJs in one company serving events. So when you're saying not to go too far out in left field, a typical DJ company like ours will focus on an event type. Like we mostly do weddings and we mostly do corporate events. There is that. So one way of thinking about this, and I'm going to ask you to help clarify, is this, are you saying, hey, stick to the types of events that you're great at because they're the systems and processes for those events are so unique. And you're saying like you can systematize the processes for those events and you should really keep it in one or two lanes and like don't go off doing magic shows at birthday parties also. Or are you also saying all the other SBUs like photo booths, AV, we're talking about all these other things that are not DJing that are other skill sets that you have to have to operate these other things. Which one lines up more? Or are you talking about something, a third thing that I didn't even mention?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
I will give you a specific example. I'm going to replicate where I screwed this up in DJ language and just kind of walk you down that path of how easy this is and how it seems like such a great idea. And so let's say you're a DJ, you do weddings, that's primarily the majority of your business and things are going fantastic. You build a reputation, you've been in business 5 years, 10 years, things are growing, you're making money. This is awesome. I love what I do. Now other people want to be DJs too. And I got people reaching out. I don't have to do a whole lot of marketing anymore. It's word of mouth and things are going fantastic. And we're really good at this. Well, man, most of the people we're DJing weddings for, they have kids pretty soon. And so, man, people are spending a lot on kids' birthday parties now. So they're getting DJs for kids' birthday parties. And so let's do that. And we're already there and having to bring a trailer. We might as well do the blow-ups too. So let's do the blow-ups and let's do that. That'll be pretty cool. And then, man, a lot of grandparents are there. And they're having retirement parties and they're doing stuff and they're spending money now and 50th anniversaries. So let's do that too. So the same customer, we're picking up all this different business and this sounds awesome. All of a sudden, you got a hell of a mess. Now you're trying to run systems for retirement parties, for weddings, for birthdays, for kids' birthdays, for blow-up shops. And now you mentioned photo booths. You got photo booths in there too. They all make money. But now, who are you? What do you do? Like it's exploding, but it's getting real muddy. And how the heck, this is the problem. Because you're good at what you do. You care about the customer. You do better than probably most other people in town or in your area. You're starting to grow and get busier in all of these areas. And that is when it gets to be a mess. Because guess what? Now you can't have somebody that's just a good wedding DJ. Now they got to be good with the kids. And they got to be good with the old people. And they probably got to be probably male in a certain age, because now they got to set up blow ups. And now they got to have a truck because they got to pull a trailer that's a photo booth and blow ups and all this stuff. And so you start really limiting who you can hire and how, and expanding how long it takes to train them, because you're trying to do so many different things for so many different types of people in so many different price points. Now your phone's ringing off the hook for kids' birthday parties. It's $1,000 line item, and you're too busy to take wedding calls. It's $10,000 line item. And now you need a receptionist that can answer the phone for the high end boutique wedding planner, but also for the 9-year old that's calling about a blow. It becomes a freaking mess, man. And it sounds smart. It sounds like, oh, I can make extra money. That's more revenue. It is a bad freaking move and a huge financial fundamental mistake. And all of a sudden you'll be in a place where I've seen it too many times. You just walk away. You walk away and like, man, I wish I just had a normal job, or I want to go do something else, or I'm going to get my real estate license. Like, it becomes too freaking much where if you make one little shift, if you go there, if you're smart enough to see it coming and you don't ever go there, that's awesome. But if you go there and you're able to make the shift and niche back down and say, you know what, I want to get back in the specialized wedding DJ business. I'm going to double my prices. I'm only going to have 2 staff members. We're only going to have one way we do things. We're going to have 1 or 2 packages. That's it. It's simple. We don't have to do sales calls really, because it's all right here. This is all you can choose from. I've got 3 people. They know what to do. We do it all the same. Now, all of a sudden, your expenses just went down by probably 90%. Your headaches went down by like 99%, and your revenue just doubled or even tripled. So now,
or even tripled.
Let's say now you're making $1 million revenue and you're probably dropping like $700,000 to the bottom line. Where before you're at $1 million revenue, maybe if you're lucky, dropping 180 to the bottom line, which isn't bad, but you're working 75 hours a week and stressed out. And if somebody calls in sick or something happens, like the house of cards just crumbles down. And so it is a drastic difference in just that one little change of what kind of business you can own and run versus what can be a train wreck and a nightmare.
They say the riches are in the niches, right?
The riches are in the niches. That's exactly right.
And here's why I think it's so valuable to have you on this podcast, Chad, because the vast majority of people that are on the cast are like me. They're other multi-op owners. They're people that are in the industry. And I've been noticing more and more, this is my 16th year in the business, more and more that I look outside of our industry for advice and business advice, the more I learn healthier ways to run a business. Because I think a quote that I heard a good friend of mine say sometime in the past year or 2 years, I can't remember what it was, it is, are you doing this for ego or are you doing this for profit? And this is an ego-driven profession that we're in. Everyone wants to be the rock star. And I think it's very easy to make decisions. I speak from a place of mistakes. I've done things for ego in the past and not for profit. And when you start thinking about making profit over just making yourself feel good or look cool on Instagram, this is what Chad's talking about. It's about niching down and focusing on a few things and being lean and efficient. And at the end of the day, it's more money. It's the money you keep, not the money you make.
It's the money you keep. And I had to be careful. I'll chase revenue or I'll chase like flashy items. I've been doing this 25 years. I've served tens of thousands of business owners. I see hundreds of financials a month. Plus I've owned 20 something different companies. Like I see this happening and I've made these mistakes. I have a business coach. I have to repeat every single week for years. I still do it almost every day. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. I think the worst thing that happens to a kind of mid-level successful business owner in that year 5 to 10 is you can do a lot of different things. You know how to serve a customer. You can probably do things better than most people in town inside of a certain umbrella of customer service and kind of around what you do. But that doesn't mean you should. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Like I go through it all the time. I stumble on something new and it's some flashy and I may do something one-off and make a lot of money on a project or something. Like, oh, we should do that. Oh, I should start a business around that. Like it's such a slippery slope. I am constantly reeling myself back in there and saying, you know what? We do taxes and tax planning. We're a tax firm. We do taxes and tax planning.
And that is an action item packed financial mistake number one. How about number two?
All right, number two. I think us as business owners, a lot of us especially, we absolutely love what we do. Like we love serving because we love going to work every day. Like it's almost works like a hobby to me. I love it, love it, love it. I work a lot on the weekends, not because I have to, because I just want to. I like what I do. And so I think when business owners and entrepreneurs love what they do and they love serving the customer, it can get a little dangerous and it can be a financial mistake because we like the day-to-day so much. We aren't planning for the future. We aren't mapping out the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan. And so I see a lot of people financially shoot themselves in the foot because they kind of keep showing up and doing the same thing day in, day out. And this is everywhere from 70-year-old business owners to 30-year-old business owners. If you just show up and you do the work every day and you're not really thinking about the business and the vision of the business of what it looks like at the 5-year mark, at the 10-year mark, and at the 15-year mark, I think it goes similar to what we talked about in the first item. It just becomes a financial mess because nobody's focusing or captaining the ship on where you're going. It's just more reactionary and day to day. And so you either don't have the capital when you need it to add fuel to the fire because you haven't planned for it, or you start getting antiquated a little bit in who you are and what you do and not improving things, which financially has an impact as well. And so that's a huge mistake for a business owner to not. Oftentimes we change those plans, but we need those plans and we need those visions that 5, 10, 15 years out, because it really tells us, hey, this is where we're going with the business. This is how we're financially planning. At this point in year 3 is when I'm going to hire this person and they're going to cost 80 grand. So I need to plan for that. And I need to know this is where kind of the personal and the professional side overlaps. My business may be crushing it. My business may be bringing in $1 million a year and I'm dropping 600 grand to the bottom line, but I don't really have a vision of where it's going. I haven't mapped out the next few years. What I've done is I took my personal life and I've created my personal expenses to match what my business is making. So now I'm personally spending $400,000 or $500,000 a year. And then I have taxes of 100 grand. And so $600,000 is coming in on the business side, but I've built this badass house and pool and I drive a Mercedes because I'm a successful business owner and all this, I'm going to Aspen and all this cool stuff, but I'm spending $500,000 or $600,000 a year. Well, now year 3 hits and it's time for me to hire somebody. And when you hire somebody, it usually go in the red with that hire for at least 6 months before they have enough training and enough business to start paying for themselves. And then over the course of a year, year and a half, you start getting 2-3 times more profit from what you were paying them. But in the beginning, you got to come out of pocket. If you're hiring an $80,000 person, you've got payroll taxes, some other things going on, that's going to cost you $100,000. And so you got to be prepared to come out of pocket 50, 60 grand, best case scenario, before they start bringing in enough and things start happening to pay for themselves. So if you don't have that vision, if you're not financially planning for those future steps in the business of whatever it may be, maybe it's hiring a person, maybe it's a new building, maybe it's buying a building and warehouse space, maybe it's buying new equipment, maybe it's doing all sorts of different things that we can do inside of our business to grow it or to give us more freedom and make our life easier. If we're not planning for those, it means we're probably spending all of our money, either personally or professionally. And that is a huge financial mistake. And that results in you just doing it anyway. And now you're making decisions without the capital or the money to do it, which adds a whole snowball effect of stress and hope everything goes right. And 5 out of 10 times in businesses, things do not go the way you think it's going to. And so it just ends up, that's when you have to, people get in positions where they're making, they're truly in this scenario and now they need money now. and the banks won't give it to them because they're desperate. They need money now. So you end up having to borrow from a family member, which is a mess, or bring on some business part, give away part of your business for money, or I don't, whatever. You pull out money out of your 401k. Now you owe another 100 grand in taxes, or all sorts of different train wreck scenarios I see there that happens from a financial aspect. So you want to be careful.
So much is about planning, like you just said. And I want to ask you a quick question where I'd love to know your take on this. Let's say you are a DJ is like another artisan. So you could also say a painter or an artist or a plumber who works for themselves, someone who's knee deep in the craft of doing a thing yep. that they're doing by themselves, right? And then they need to leverage some time out of this 10 to 12 hour day every day of performing or working on the craft to actually start working on the business. How would you advise someone who spends no time or very little time working on the business to start working on it instead of just in it all the time?
I think it starts with a question. Do you want to have a job or do you want to own a business? Because right now you have a job. If you're not working on the business or you're not spending at least 25% of your time on the business and planning around the business side, then really you just have a job. And that's fine. Some people want that. Some people don't want a business. They don't want to manage people. They don't want to deal with a bunch of headaches. They don't want to work for somebody else. They want a job. But the problem with a job, the problem with being self-employed is guess what? When you go on vacation, you don't make any money. Guess what? When you get sick, you don't make any money. When something happens in your life, you don't make any money. And you also are building something with very little future value because nobody wants to buy a job. And so your exit strategy is pretty much non-existent. So you have to ask the question, do I want a job or do I want to own a business? And if your answer is I want to own a business, then it's obvious you need to be working on the business and owning a business, which means businesses have systems. Businesses have people. Businesses aren't a one-man show. They have systems. They have people. They have processes. They build things to be sustainable without the owner in there every day. And back to what you mentioned earlier with ego, that's something hard for a lot of people to swallow. I don't know why. I would love to sit at home and not do a damn thing and make a pile of money. I'm down for that. I say that, I go crazy, but I really am.
Like, yeah, you would. Yeah, you would.
I'm bored, really. I'd do something dumb. But also, like, since we're talking about creatives, and a lot of who I serve is service industry businesses or creatives that were technicians at some point and got really good at what they do and built a business around their skill set or their technical expertise or their creative kind of skill set or whatever it may be. I think you've got to be careful there if you're in that creative space because you care too much about the product sometimes or the service. I think everything you got to understand, it's a business decision. I see creatives a lot of times spend way too much freaking money and time around stuff like a logo or a name or a website or what microphone they're using or what. I'm like, just pull the, you can make it better in the future. Pull the trigger and make money, or don't spend $20,000 on a logo when it's not going to make you an extra dollar. No, nobody cares. Like they don't. Like they just want what you have and you're not giving it to them because you're hung up on these details that you want to be perfect or you want to spend way too much time and money on. It is a business. It what the wrap on your car looks like doesn't freaking matter. What your logo looks like truly doesn't matter. I've never not done business or done business with somebody because of their logo. Like I think some people have dumb names and they make millions of dollars. Like it, I think some people have great names and they're broke as hell. So
listen, I saw someone, a successful DJ recently. I was looking them up online and they had a website that looked like it was from 2003. And I was like, this doesn't match, but it didn't matter because I know that that person is making bank. But I mean, they should update a little bit. But
they
I think
should.
You know, like,
again, back to the first thing we talked about. You can't be antiquated. You got to adapt. You got to spend money, but you don't do it just to spend money. Mm-hmm. You do it as a business decision to stay relevant and make more money. The same thing on the other side. You don't do it because it's pretty or do it because, you know, you think you should. You do it because it's going to make you more money. If it doesn't make you more money now or in the future, it's not a good business decision. It's okay to want it. I got extra money. I want to buy a Mercedes. I want to buy a Mercedes Sprinter van to haul my DJ equipment around that's four-wheel drive and got a roof rack and solar panels because I'm making a pile of money and it's cool. Have at it. But quit trying to say it's a good business decision or justify it or try to do it in some other way.
Boom. That was episode number 2 in the same episode. I love it. This is great. This is, I mean, I think I'm thinking about the people that are listening to this, and someone's probably already thrown something at Spotify, you know, and someone's life has just been changed all in the same moment. Number 3,
financial mistake number 3. This is the one that gets more people in trouble when they reach a higher level of success than anything else. People start thinking they can buy their way to success in other avenues or other places, or that they know what they're doing and make smart decisions now, which they have up to this point, and start putting too much money in one spot. And it's kind of a two-piece mistake. Number one, I think for when we start making money and when we start becoming successful in business, we start thinking we can shortcut that because we have money now. Like, I've got experience and I've got money. I can shortcut the 20 years of hard work and grit and trial and error and knowing my customer and defining my craft and the 20,000 hours of what I do and the best at and training people. Like, now I got experience, 20, 30 years experience, and I got money. I'm just going to immediately spend my way to success in other parts of my business or in a completely different business. And that is something that is just a complete fallacy. It just does not work. I've seen people sell their businesses for tens of millions of dollars and lose every bit of it because they forgot all the pieces that made them successful and that built the business that they sold. Like, they tried to shortcut. They got, I built a business. I sold a business. I know what I'm doing. Now I have money. I'm going to do this again in 2 years over here on something I don't know anything about, or I have 0 hours in, or I don't know this customer. And so that is a huge financial mistake. It's a train wreck situation. And then inside of that also, if you take the money you're making in your business and you go too heavy in one place, I think you've got to go all in to get to a certain place from an investment standpoint. Once I think you build up $1 million or maybe even 500, let's say you get to 500 grand or $1 million in an actual like savings or something, you shouldn't put that ever all in one place. Like, don't ever put $1 million into your buddy's car wash deal because it's going to make a lot of money, or this one real estate development, or put $1 million. Once you hit that 500,000 and $1 million mark, you should never go put more than probably 10% of that in one spot or one project. Now, that doesn't mean like it can't all go in the stock market. It just means don't put it in one fund or one stock, or don't put it in one piece of real estate, or don't put it in one other business venture, or hey, this over here is paying 10% interest rate. I'm going to go stick it all here. When you take what you've built over 20 years or 30 years of savings, and that's your investment piece for your financial future, I see a lot of people just, they see the upside and they just don't see the down. Oh, there's a mall development project. I can put $1 million here, and they say I can probably get back $3 million in 2 years. You will lose that $1 million 8 out of 10 times, and you will be starting over at 40 or 50 years old with zero savings.
Are you saying that because of the availability of liquid assets, like if you're taking all of your money and putting it in a thing, you just have no more cash? Or because of the fail rate of because the likelihood of, that you're going to lose it, or both?
Because of the fail rate. 100% because of the fail rate. If you start chasing that same thing that makes us entrepreneurs and business owners and somewhat take risk and somewhat go against the grain and somewhat cheer, just grit out success when we shouldn't. I mean, what the success rate is, 1 out of 10, maybe. We got a 10% success rate as an entrepreneur or business owner, but we know we can do it and we do it. So we start thinking everything now because of us will have a 90 or 100% success rate. But business owners and entrepreneurs screw this up. And like, this is not the content I deliver on a lot of podcasts, because a lot of people I talk to is that early entrepreneur, business owner just starting out. But I feel like a lot of this audience is that successful entrepreneur, business owner, and so a lot of your audience that has built up capital. Like, do not make this mistake. Like, don't do it. Like, I love investing. I love putting my money to work. I love taking risk financially, but I like taking controlled risk. So when something goes upside down or something fails, it's not a big deal. Because if I have $1 million and I make 10 investments and 7 of them work out, I am freaking crushing it. And I don't care about the 3 that didn't. But if I put all of it in 1 or 2 deals and those are 1 or 2 of the 3 that didn't work out, you're toast.
I think that's also related to mistake number 2 about diversification too, because it's like success in one doesn't guarantee success in another. And that's kind of like the universal thought here. And a quick example from my side, I have 2 successful multi-ops. They're essentially the same mindset. They're different price points and qualities and different things. But when I started going down the rabbit hole to build the blueprint, it's a totally different model. It's in the same industry with the same content. Like, the content is the same, but the way you approach a business like that is wildly different. And I just didn't know what I didn't know. And it took, now we're in year 3 and it's finally starting to become a lot clearer. But what I did in the DJ business didn't work in the SaaS business at all.
That you're exactly right. And I think that's the thing we forget when we start to do new stuff. I had to screw something up 10 times before I figured out how to make it work. And I think when we start getting success and money, we forget that. And we go all in with our money and trial one. And that doesn't ever work. Like, in anything we do, it just doesn't work. It takes trial and error. It takes failure. You have to learn from those mistakes. And if I'd have had money, God, I mean, a lot, you hear this before and you see it all over Instagram. Like, the people that screw it up have money in the beginning. Like, thank God we were dead broke and I didn't have any money in the beginning, because I'd have blew it all and screwed it all up. I thought I had $1 million idea, my first run at the tax business. Here we are 15 iterations and 25 years later, I finally got it figured out, kind of. About 3 days a week, I think I've got it figured out. About 2 days a week, I think I still don't. But, you know, I'm 25 years in. And I've been through truly 15 different versions. And it's just so easy to financially forget that. We start telling ourselves stories instead of looking at the facts or what got us where we're at. And to see people, and this is why it just keeps me awake at night, like, to see people throw that away on one bad business deal or one bad real estate deal or one bad investment or make a couple bad. I mean, it doesn't take 1 or 2 bad financial decisions to blow what it took you 10 or 15 years to build. And so just be careful there. Like, just invest it, have it work for you, but just be smart. Like, don't try to make $1 million next month or next year, because it's pretty much impossible to do. But what you can do is make 50 grand more next year and the year after that and the year after that without taking any chances or risk.
You got to love the journey.
Absolutely.
Gotta love the journey. And I want to make a quick parallel to your podcast, the Stronger Business Podcast, because what you just talked about the past like minute or 2 minutes is what I would call a max out moment from your podcast. It was a great way to land the plane, Chad. 3 guys, I think this podcast is getting better and better every time we do it. This was an absolute just treasure trove of great information, whether you're new to this, You've been doing this a long time. There was something for everybody. Chad, I can't thank you enough for being on the podcast. Will you tell everyone how they can find you?
Absolutely. Instagram, it's easy. Chad Brown, CFO. I do some tax tips. I do some financial tips on there. Follow along. Stronger Business Podcast, you can link to from there. Or go to our website for our tax firm, brownmccook.com. It's my email also, chad@brownmccook.com. There's some cool stuff there. Lots of different tax tips and different media pieces or videos you can watch. I have a lot of documents you can download of organizers, tax planning items, little tax tips and stuff. So feel free to dive in for resources, check it out, and follow along and reach out. Again, I love what I do for a career and as a job is taxes, tax planning, and I spend majority of my time inside of our tax firm. But I just love business. I love entrepreneurship. It's my passion. And so I love talking about this stuff. I love connecting with other business owners and the financial side of what makes us more successful and how we live our dream life. Man, I've enjoyed this, David.
Amazing, Chad. Thank you so much. And listeners, as always, free resources at blueprintlearn.com/resources. And we'll see you on the next one.